Welcome back to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
And this is Shelby.
And today we are talking about the books Powerless, Reckless, / Powerful.
Yes.
By Lauren Roberts.
And it's a great time because the third and final book, Fearless, is coming out April 8th.
I am so excited.
So when will this episode come out?
Okay.
27th of March.
Yep.
So in about a week and a half, we get the new book.
I'm stoked. I loved Powerless. If you haven't read Powerless, I'd highly recommend it. I always recommend this book to a lot of people. This might be one of my most recommended books because it is a good introduction to fantasy if you want to try, or romantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want something that's really high fantasy or super intense world building or super spicy. This is like the perfect book for you. And I loved it. If you like really good banter back and forth.
Your book.
It's so good, you guys. It's like Hunger Games, but because there's trials, but with way more romance. It's so good.
And it's considered YA, right?
Mm-hmm. It is young adult.
It's pretty easy to read, mm-hmm. which is always nice. They're, especially in Powerless, Powerful I still liked, Reckless I still liked, but they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Powerless, there was not a single chapter that I wasn't entertained and I wasn't enjoying it. Like, I loved every single part of it. And I loved that it was like Hunger Games. A lot of people don't like that, though, that it is so similar to Hunger Games, but I really
liked that. It's not that similar.
Yeah,
I mean, there are trials, but it's not the same concept at all.
Like, no.
They're doing them for a completely different reason, and they're totally different. I don't know.
Yeah. I will mention there is another book that people were like, Lauren just plagiarized, and it's The Red Queen.
Okay, yes.
And I listened to that book. I honestly don't even remember any of it. It was more of a vibe read for me. I liked it. And I do think I'll eventually get to the rest of the series. But I just wanted to see if it was like Powerless. And it was very similar. But she did not plagiarize. Like, it
really?
Was, it was okay. Different. There were, like, a lot of similarities. But it was also its own book. Very okay. different. Like, Lauren Roberts totally took just all of her favorite things from her favorite books and made it into her own. And that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you do that? You know? Yeah.
Well, if you read a lot of fantasy, so many things are similar / the same between books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not plagiarism. Like, things cross over and that's fine. Like, not every single part of every single book can be totally original.
Yeah, there's no original ideas anymore. Like, everybody has the same ideas, but everybody writes it different.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's totally different, and I think it's fine. And I know a lot of readers that will look for books that they're interested in and find all of the books that are just like it and read them because they like that idea.
But that's fine.
It was pretty similar.
So there's Powerless, which is the first book, which is the best one. Everybody likes that one the best. And then there is a novella called Powerful, a little itty bitty baby book.
So little.
And the second book is Reckless.
Mm-hmm.
So Shelby read this first, and then she's like, you need to read this. So she gave me Powerless and Powerful.
Uh-huh.
And I did not know that you could read it as a tandem read.
I told you.
Okay, well, okay. I wasn't listening.
No, I told Emily I did the tandem read.
I know, but I forgot.
I have my notes in there. And then I said, when I gave her the book, so this is two different conversations. When I gave her the books, I was like, you start with Powerful.
And all I heard was, you start with powerful. So I just read powerful first.
She read the whole thing, you guys. The whole thing. And when you said you finished it, I was like, that was so quick. It was
like 2 days later. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
And it was crazy because I was like, okay, she didn't like update me on anything about Peyton or Kai.
Right.
But just like Adina and Makoto, which are the two characters in Powerful. And I was like, what is going on? And then I found out that you were like, no, I just finished Powerful. And I was like, what? You didn't do the tandem read? Like, you just spoiled the ending.
Yeah.
Oops. But you still enjoyed it.
I really liked it. Even though I knew what was going to happen at the end of Powerless, there's so much more to the story than just that ending. So I really enjoyed it. But yeah, oops. So I read Powerful first, and then I read Powerless, which is the first.
So whatever you do,
don't do that.
I highly recommend, if you are going to read Powerful, you don't have to. But if you are going to, do it in the tandem read with Powerless.
But you also don't have to read Powerful.
That's what I just said.
Oh.
But yeah.
I thought you were saying you don't have to do the tandem read. I wasn't listening. Sorry. Oh. Just some, I know that some novellas are small books that are still essential to the story.
Yeah.
But Powerful is not essential. If you want to skip it, you can, but it's really good. So I'd recommend it.
It's just an add-on. There is a character in Powerful that we get to meet that's not in Powerless and Reckless. Sad.
Yeah.
This character didn't show up in Reckless. And they may appear in the third book.
I want them to.
I hope they do, because that would be so pointless.
Right. So I know a lot of people were upset that we did not see Mac in Reckless after mm-hmm. you meet him in Powerful.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Last thing for non-spoilers. This is being turned into a film adaptation. Yes.
Ayo.
Hold on. I have to look that up.
So many things are being turned into a film adaptation right now that I can't keep track.
Oh, yes. A TV series adaptation of Lauren Roberts' YA romantasy book, Powerless, is in development from Lyrical Media and Anyone But You filmmaker Will Gluck.
Cool.
So, yes.
Is there an estimated date, like, in 2027 we'll get this?
I don't think so. That was in, like, September 2024 that they announced that. So, there hasn't been any further updates that I can see.
Okay.
But we will update you guys if there is one when it comes out. Okay, let's get into spoilers.
Let's talk about the book.
So I just have like things that kind of explain the book, because I feel like it'll be helpful for our listeners, especially if you're not rereading before you read Fearless. So this book takes place in a place called Ilia. Some people say that Ilia.
Oh, no.
And our main characters. So we have Peyton Gray, which at first when I was reading the tandem read, Adina and Peyton, I felt like their names needed to be switched.
Mm.
Like Adina seemed more of like a main female character name than Peyton mm-hmm. did. But the more that I read, Peyton was a lot more fitting for that character. But Peyton has silver hair. Which I love.
Love.
She's very feisty, very independent. Her best friend is Adina. I put in here, it's ironic that she lives in a town called Loot and she's looting.
Yeah. She's like a thief.
Yeah. She steals stuff. And then we have Kai, Azar. How do you say their last name?
Azar, I think.
I literally spelled it two different ways in my notes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Azar or Azure.
Oh, Azure.
I don't know. What does the audiobook say?
I don't have the audiobook.
Oh, never mind.
But the audio, I wish I had the audio.
This is a great book to read on audio if you prefer audiobooks.
Because it's dual point of view and it's a man and a woman.
Yes, they have two voice actresses, which is the best.
Ugh.
And it's not cringy.
Yeah.
Like, don't listen to ACOTAR on audiobook.
Yeah, I mean, it's still
you
good.
You can. It's just, no. I don't like it.
Anyway, Kai, he's our tall, dark, and handsome man. We love that. He is the biggest sweetheart. Like, I love Kai. Yeah. How do you feel about Kai?
Yeah. No, we love Kai. If you don't love Kai, there's something wrong with you.
Like, he's in my top five book boyfriends, for sure.
So he's one of the princes, and his older brother is Kit Azar.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, like, the opposite as far as looks go. Just, he's blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have blue eyes? Blonde hair, blue eyes, something like that?
I don't remember his eye color. But I feel like it actually might be brown. But, yeah, he has blonde hair. He's also super sweet. A big lover. He's super smitten.
He's a little bit more soft.
Yeah.
It's like Kit is Hufflepuff. And Kai would be Ravenclaw or Slytherin.
Yeah, yeah.
Kai is a little bit darker, but he definitely is still a softy.
And Kai is, like, the better fighter. He's stronger.
Mm-hmm.
He's the enforcer in this book. And Kit is, like, more book smart. Mm-hmm. And he is the heir. He's supposed to become king.
Yes.
And then we have Adina, which is the best friend. Always love a good book bestie.
Yep.
Her and Peyton live together to start with. She's a seamstress, which I thought was fun because Emily is a seamstress. So I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this
character. I don't know if I'm a seamstress.
Well.
But I've sewn before.
So I feel like you could consider yourself a seamstress, but that's not what you do for a living. I don't know.
Right.
Her story pulls you in quick and then breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Into pieces. Oh my gosh. And then the last main character, how do you say his name? Makoto?
Yeah.
That's how I say it. Makoto.
Yeah.
He is in the Powerful book. So he's the character that isn't in Powerless and Reckless.
Right.
But I actually did like the addition, and I really, really hope that Lauren adds him into the last book.
I know, same.
Did you like the addition of him?
Yeah.
Powerful?
Oh, yeah. I really liked his character. I liked how Adina just is able to break him,
mm-hmm.
break him down, kind of. He's, like, so rough and tough.
Yeah, he is kind of, like, hard on the outside.
Yeah. For sure. She's, like, the only person that they've ever been able to soften him. And then he loses her.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh.
Oh, the worst. He goes by Mac. So when we say Mac, it's the same as Makoto, by the way.
Yeah.
But you probably know that because you have read this.
So there's the Ordinaries and the Elites. The Ordinaries don't have any power, and the King believed they were ruining the Elite's powers. So he believes that they need to go. They need to die.
Right.
And
we find out that Peyton does not have powers.
Mm-hmm.
She's been faking it her whole life.
So she's an ordinary.
Mm-hmm. But she's been pretending to have psychic power. So she's kind of honed her skills to be really good at paying attention to details and telling people things about themselves that they would not normally think anybody could know unless they were
a
psychic.
She's really good at it. Her mm-hmm. dad taught her from a young age. And this is, like, the best fake power.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, like, a skill that she mm-hmm. learned. And I think if you practiced it, anyone could really learn. And it's super believable, especially mm-hmm. later on in the book, like, when they have to present their powers and, like, everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Kai's power, is there a name for it? He basically can just sense other elites' powers and use them.
Yeah, I don't remember if there is a name for that, but
I don't remember either.
I love the, like, opposite, you know, the love interest has the most dangerous power mm-hmm. for her mm-hmm. because he can sense power.
And throughout the book, he like kind of thinks it's weird that he can't really sense hers. Mm-hmm. I have to sneeze.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Oh, I forgot that Mac has the same power. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I totally forgot that because Kai, as far as he knows, is the only person that has this power.
But then we find out that Mac has the same power, but he's trying to hide it because mm-hmm. he knows that he'll die if they find out that he has this power.
Like that's way too powerful mm-hmm. of a power.
Yeah. And then Kit's ability is to manipulate water or fire and water. But it's more so fire. Like we see that a lot more.
Yeah.
And then another character that's kind of important and her power's cool is Blair. She can do telekinesis.
Cool.
They're like, honestly, all pretty average powers, but they're used in cool ways, yeah. I think, in fun ways. And then we have the purging trials, and we'll kind of get through those a little bit more, but only elites can compete, and it's basically a competition to see who is the strongest elite. And I think it's funny how Kit, like, wants to compete so bad, mm-hmm. but he can't.
Yeah.
And so basically Kai is competing for the both of them.
Yeah.
And then we get to the part that is the meet cute.
Meet cute.
Peyton and Kai meet. And
they meet on the streets of Loot, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's stealing things, you know, and so she runs into him and
she steals from him.
Yeah,
she doesn't know who he is though.
Yeah, and she notices that there's a lot of change in his pocket and she's like, what average person carries this much money on them, you know?
Right,
like he must have a lot of money. But I thought it was funny how I think it was in his point of view for this part, he like totally got distracted by her, like she did her job well.
Yeah, like that's definitely something he should have noticed because of how much he had in his pocket. He probably should have noticed the weight change.
Yeah,
but he was so enamored by her
uh-huh
that he didn't notice till later.
And then one of the quotes in this part that I love, Kai says, do you always fall into the arms of handsome strangers or is this a new thing for you? And then Peyton goes, only the cocky ones. And then this is when the banter begins. Ugh,
the banter between them is so good.
Ugh.
It's the best part of these books.
I just want to read Powerless again. I don't know if I would want to read Reckless again, but Powerless, yes. In this moment, we find out that Kai is searching for ordinaries. And there's like the silencers and stuff. I don't know. I can't explain these people very well, but mm-hmm. we see Kai show mercy on an ordinary girl and he was supposed to kill. So he runs her out of town and lets her go. So like he is supposed to be this like enforcer that forces people to do things, gets the ordinaries out because that's what the king, his father, wants.
And he's supposed to kill them.
Yeah, and kill them. But we see the soft side of him. And we just like continually to see that throughout the book. And that's why I love Kai so much, is because he's like playing this role, but he totally isn't that person. And then one of the silencers start fighting Kai. And this is when Peyton comes to save him. And this is when she gets coined as the Silver Savior.
Right. And this is not ideal for her because she's trying to stay under the radar as much as possible because she isn't ordinary, but pretending to have power so she doesn't get killed. And so, right, this is just not ideal for her situation to suddenly be in the public eye and people start calling her a Silver Savior mm-hmm. and everybody starts recognizing her.
And she just wants to fly under the radar.
Right. And this is essentially why her name ends up on the trials list, mm-hmm. because people now know her as a silver savior.
Yeah. So then we get that list, and her name is on it, which is shocking because she's not an elite, but she's been playing as an elite this right. whole time. And then we kind of see some fun changes in the book after that. So all of the contestants go to the palace to prepare. There's training, there's balls, etc. And we see that Peyton gets to live in a much nicer place than where she was currently living at. Where her and Dina were at was basically a garbage dump.
Yeah.
Like, it was terrible. And now she, like, gets to live in luxury and dress nice and be clean all the time and eat good food. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and this, for me, was giving off strong Hunger Game vibes, mm-hmm. because they're like, let us treat you like royalty. Let us put you up in the nicest, you know, room, mm-hmm. nicest clothes, nicest food.
And then it's you're like gonna they're die. Just
buttering them up to go kill each other.
Literally. Buttering them up, fattening them up.
Yeah.
Getting them ready for entertainment. Well, Hunger Games is for entertainment.
Right.
This not so much. Kind of for the king, though. He likes it.
Yeah.
For entertainment.
We get to the point where Kit and Peyton meet.
Another meet cute, you could say.
Yeah. And I think she was asking, like, do you talk to everyone around here or something like that? I don't know what she asked.
I don't remember either.
But he said, I make it my business to know all the pretty girls who have saved my brother.
So you're like, ooh, there's another brother. He's cute. Which yeah. one is she going to choose? Love triangle.
Yep.
I love that. I love a good love triangle. Hence Vampire Diaries.
It's like PETA or Liam, or what's his name?
Yeah, Liam. Or no, that's his real name. Real name.
That's what.
Gale.
PETA or Gale.
I was like, yeah, it's Liam.
Anyways, someone said he gives Golden Retriever energy.
Kit.
Yeah. I mean, I said Hufflepuff, so that's basically
yeah
the same thing.
But then it changes in the second book. And we'll talk about yeah. that.
His character arc is wild.
The flip.
Crazy, guys.
I kind of hate that.
Yeah.
So we get to the part where all of the, what are they called? Contestants? Elites?
I don't know.
That are going
participants.
To. Participants. That are, but are they participants?
I don't.
Because they're kind of forced to do it. Anyway.
Forced participants.
Yeah. They have to present their power. And this part was a lot like Hunger Games. Do you remember that in Hunger Games where they like get up on the stage?
Oh,
and
to
they
kind of show off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And once Peyton got up there, everybody loved it. Like, they were very impressed. And right. I was like, yeah, you go, girl.
Yes.
Fool them.
I don't necessarily remember. No, I do. Kai teaching Peyton how to dance.
Yeah, so they have to.
Yeah, what was the purpose of this?
So they're told that there's a ball.
Yeah.
And you have to pick your date, basically. And Peyton's like, oh, I don't know how to dance. And Kit asks Peyton to go to the ball with him.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, I need to learn how to dance. So Kai was like, I can teach you how to dance. So they like secretly go off like every night, and he teaches her how to dance. Personally, I kind of wish that it was Kit that taught her how to dance, because I wanted more dialogue between them.
Yeah.
And I feel like I that would have that. Been like the perfect moment for them, and then they like go to the ball together, and I don't know. Yeah. I kind of wished it was Kit, but it still was like super tender that it was Kai.
Yeah.
And like, just kind of plays into his sweetheart side a little bit more, like, oh
yes,
Kai can dance.
You're like, okay, he's smooth. Didn't he like have her put her feet on his feet? Wasn't that a thing?
I think so.
And then later on, it's in the second book, you like learn more
mm-hmm.
about that, and it's kind of tender.
Oh, yeah, dancing kind of ends up being their theme, which yeah. is why it is important that it is Kai
yeah.
that teaches her to dance. And then this was like a fun part about reading Powerless and Powerful together, yeah, is seeing Adina's point of view when she comes into the palace and stuff. So Adina comes into the palace because Peyton needs a seamstress for her clothes. And she's like, oh my gosh, I have the perfect person. So she gets her best friend to come live with her in, yeah, the palace. And I loved seeing it from Peyton's point of view and Adina's, yeah, point of view, because it was so different. And they, like, were living different lives in the same place in luxury, you know?
Right.
And then comes the first ball. So, traditionally, I think everyone wears green.
Yeah, I was going to say it's green, right?
Yeah. And Peyton being Peyton and Adina being Adina, like, they're just young. They don't really care.
Yeah.
Adina makes her the most iconic silver dress.
Yes.
And I was here for it.
Yes. So good.
So good. It was like fitted. There was a slit so that you could see her dagger. Oh, because daggers are like her weapon. That's her thing.
Yeah. Just like every book,
yeah,
that we read ever. No,
literally.
Whoa, she's really good with daggers. That's, oh my, new. Gosh.
Wow. Wait, who else? Who else is good with daggers?
Literally every female.
Violet. What's
Blood
her name?
And Ash.
Poppy.
Yeah.
Isn't it Triss from, what's it called? Good with daggers?
Yeah.
Wait, what is that called? Divergent?
Divergent. Is she good with daggers? Is that her thing?
I don't know. I could be wrong. But then, like,
what else have I read recently?
Those are the only ones that I can think of. But it is like a theme for sure.
I feel like there's another one that I read that I'm missing.
I wish I was good with daggers.
What about Quicksilver?
She doesn't have a weapon that I can remember. That's Aelin? Like significant.
Is Aelin good with daggers?
Aelin's good with everything.
Okay, true.
Aelin is top tier woman.
True. Okay. After this first ball, the trials start.
And the first trial is basically capture the flag.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important part in this trial is the connection between Kai and Peyton. Because they get to know a lot more about each other. This is when he calls her Peyton for the first time, and she smiles, and he, like, there's a quote that I didn't write down of, like, oh, I want to see that more, that he says, yeah, because he usually calls her Gray or darling. I actually kind of love that he calls her darling.
Love, love,
love, love. These are great nicknames.
It's giving Resand.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Hello, darling. And then this is also when they dance. They're in the middle of a trial, like, probably about to die.
Right.
And they're bored or something. So they're like, well, let's dance.
Yeah. But then I think they get interrupted during that part or something.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's the Hunger Games. It's like the Hunger Games because there are cameras everywhere. And I'm like, this, yeah, is getting dangerous. Like, I would definitely not be doing that during a trial, like, because people are watching you.
Yeah. But then you have to think, like, are they doing it for the connection for each other, or are they doing it for the camera? Yeah. Because people, I think, kind of start liking it, yeah, and paying attention to them a little bit more. But then we get one of the best quotes, his favorite color. Do you remember this one?
I do now.
So Pei goes, what's your favorite color? And then in Kai's inner thoughts, he says, I've never thought about my favorite color before. I never thought it seemed so important, not until I looked into a pair of ocean blue eyes and realized drowning was a beautiful thing. Not until I looked into fiery blue eyes and thought perhaps burning was a painful thing, or was a painless thing. Not until I looked into a pair of sky blue eyes and thought perhaps falling was a peaceful thing. And so he goes, blue, I say.
So good.
Oh, that's so cute, though. It's so cheesy. This book is very cheesy, yeah, but, like, It's so good.
Yes.
Like, I love Kai.
He's, yeah, the best. We do find out more about Peyton's dad. And we learn that he was part of a resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And that group still exists, and Peyton ends up meeting up with them, and they kind of tell her everything. And so Peyton decides to join and help them, and kind of has to figure out a way to get them into the palace and to sneak them in.
Mm-hmm.
So now this adds kind of a new
conflict
in the storyline, because now you're really starting to like Kai, but now she's basically working against him. So you're like, okay, are they going to be enemies? Are they going to be lovers?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because she, yeah. But this is also another thing that's very similar to Hunger Games. Because right. There's, like, the rebellion.
Exactly.
So we'll see how it plays out.
We have another ball. And she wears a red dress.
Mm-hmm. And every ball, I was always like, what color is she going to come
yeah.
in? I kind of wished she sticked with silver and like made that her thing.
Yeah.
Or like that the dresses were flipped and she finished with silver. But like yeah. I understand.
The red dress isn't this, or am I thinking of another book? No, it's this book. She like starts to have a panic attack
under the willow tree.
Yes. And she can't breathe.
Uh-huh. And he undoes it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so she can't breathe and Kai like takes her away and he like undoes her dress. Just like without even asking her or anything. He just does it and she's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Well, you needed to breathe."
Yeah. The dress was a little tight.
So that was a spicy part.
Yeah, I didn't remember this, but I guess Kai's full name is Malachi.
Yeah, so
forgot that.
During the ball, or in that moment, you figure out that his full name is Malachi.
Yes.
Kind of like Makoto.
Yeah, I really like the names in this book. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
She does a good job.
They're fun.
Okay, then we get into the second trial.
So
they have to work in teams to climb up a mountain, basically. Yeah.
Which was interesting that they had to do teams for this, and they like had to help each other
yeah
survive, and the teams were also kind of interesting. I don't remember who was in what team, but I thought that it was like an interesting mix because there was like enemies on enemies
hello
anemones
sea anemones
sea anemones and then the one part in the second trial that I thought was funny, because the night before at the ball, Kai got super drunk. Kai notices that he wrote a note to himself on his arm that said, "She said I can touch her when I'm sober." So he's hello. Like, he's in love with her.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then kind of after this, we get a little bit more of that dialogue that I was hoping for between Kit and Peyton. Because Peyton has a purpose, but Kit doesn't know, which is so sad that he's being played. But she needs to figure out where the tunnels are and how to get the resistance in.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's using Kit, which is really sad because he thinks that like she's interested in him and he's very smitten with her. But he eventually shows her the dungeons and, like, that there's tunnels under there. But I'm also like, Kit, like, are you dumb? Why would she be asking about that? You know? Like,
she's very charming.
Why else would you be interested?
You definitely feel a lot of conflict as a reader in these parts because you really want, you're rooting for the resistance and the rebellion. And but then you're like, but Kit is just so sweet and pure, and she has to use him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, this is not going to end well, because he's going to find out that it was her, because nobody else knows about the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh, great. How is this going to go down?
Yeah. And then we get into the third ball.
Yes.
I love that it's like ball, trials. Like there's things in between the trials.
Yeah. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it makes it fun. And then this is when she wears the black dress. And it was like a very sexy dress.
I don't exactly remember the description, but...
I don't either. And I think in my brain I'm kind of mixing it up with Violet's black dress.
Yeah.
Like, they're very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, I'm like, black? For the last ball? Why black? You know?
Yeah.
But it is very contrasting to green, and everybody's still wearing green. Mm-hmm. Whatever. At this point, there's a lot of tension between the brothers, because Kit thinks that Peyton likes her, Kai thinks that Peyton likes her, and...
They're both in love with her.
Yes, they're both in love with her. Kai wants to dance with her, but he can't. But I think he eventually does, like, take her away, and is like, it's my turn. I kind of, back on the dress topic... I kind of want you to make all of her dresses at some point.
I know. Should I get back into sewing?
Yeah.
I should go to Joann's before they shut down permanently. Because they're going...
They're shutting down?
Yes, every single Joann's around.
No.
The whole nation is shutting down because they're bankrupt.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. That's messy.
Yeah, so there's like nowhere else to buy fabric.
Are they doing sales?
Probably. But I think... I'm kind of assuming... that it's pretty cleared out at this point.
Yeah, probably, because they probably wouldn't be getting any new inventory.
Yeah, it's been several weeks since they announced this, so I and every time I drive past Joann's, there are people there, probably trying to get the last of everything on a really good clearance. Anyways, I should sew again.
Yeah, you should make her dresses. During this ball, Peyton's main goal is to get a key off of Kit so that she can... open this like dungeon door and have access into the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel that she's helping the resistance?
I mean, I kind of brought this up before, but I mean, I agree with the resistance as a reader, because the way that the king runs everything is really messed up,
mm-hmm.
and killing ordinaries is really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are on their side. But then Kit and Kai, you just love so much.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, she's going to have to betray them. And it's really kind of gut-wrenching.
And you kind of ask yourself the question, well, is she helping them because she found out that her dad was a part of it? So she mm-hmm. feels like she needs to fulfill what he was trying to finish. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then also at the third ball, another great quote. So Kai asks, do you want to call me Kai or Malachi? And then Peyton responds with, what do you want to call me, Pei or Peyton? And then Kai says, I want to call you mine.
So cheesy, but so sly.
So sly. So good. And then they finally kiss.
Let's go.
I feel like it took forever.
I love the slow burn.
It was good. I love good. The tension. It was, like, perfect in this book. And I'm pretty sure that was, like, the only thing that happened in this book, is they kissed. I can't remember,
just the once? Yeah. I can't remember. It's been too long since I read these, but...
It has been too long.
So good.
So good.
And then we get into the third trial.
Yep.
Which is the final trial, and it's a big maze. And essentially, when you get through the maze... when you get to like the center of the maze,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the end, you have to kill whoever is at the end. And when Pei gets to the center, it's Adina, her best friend,
mm-hmm.
which now you are just so mad, because you're like, and part of me was thinking, I knew that something was up, because just they were treating her so well. They were treating Peyton, you know, obviously, because she was not you eating a cream egg.
I'm trying to
I just look over and she's unraveling, unwrapping a big chocolate egg.
Do you want one? I have another one.
Maybe. Maybe later. Anyways, then they allow Peyton to bring Adina in and make all these dresses for her. And I'm thinking, that's way too nice. Like, they're just treating them way too well. Mm-hmm. And the catch was that they found, you know, at this point, now they know that she loves Adina so much. Mm-hmm. And they're going to use it against her. So, you know, just like the Hunger Games, it's messed up what they make them do. They just care about control. And the government is really corrupt. So he has to kill Adina in the end, but it ends up being Blair that kills Adina. See, I don't remember that either. I don't remember the little details of this book, but
well, I wrote them down.
Yeah, thanks for thanks. Shout out to Shelby for taking detailed notes so that I can remember what actually happened.
But reading Powerful and Powerless, mm-hmm, in tandem, you get to read it. You get to, sadly, read Adina's point of view in three different. Or not Adina's point of view. Adina's death.
Yes.
In three different points of view. And I think that it's in Peyton's, Adina's, and Max.
And it's kind of a mystery who exactly kills her.
Uh-huh.
You know that she gets killed, but then it takes a minute to
kind of. And I thought it was going to be Kai.
Yeah, I don't.
What did you think?
I don't know, but I knew it wasn't Peyton because it was so unclear,
mm-hmm,
that I was like, okay, something happened. Somebody stepped in.
Mm-hmm. But did you guess that it was going to be Adina in the middle of the maze too?
Well, remember, I already spoiled that for myself.
Oh.
So, duh. Yeah.
Duh.
I didn't.
But
yes,
reading.
I already knew.
Reading both books in tandem, you get to see Adina's point of view a little bit sooner than Peyton's and Kai's. With the whole maze situation. And so I was like, oh no. Like, something very wrong is happening with Adina. And I think that they took her and put her in the maze. So,
yeah.
Definitely in the tandem read, like, it's a lot easier to guess. But I think if you were just reading Powerless, that is a major curveball. I don't know.
Yeah. I wish I had read this in the correct order so I could have the experience that everybody else had.
Oh, I was so mad. I was like, Emily, why?
Why did I do this to myself? Okay. Anyway. So the resistance fulfills what they've been trying to do. They infiltrated the arena, basically, and Kit is not happy. And at this point, like I said before, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows he got played.
Yeah.
He got used, and it's just a bloodbath at this point. It's
Kit's mad. He's terrifying. Freaking lighting everybody on fire, and it's just craziness. There's actually a lot of people that have an issue with this and the whole resistance,
uh-huh,
because it, like, doesn't really make sense. But I feel like it does. Like, the issue that people have is, like, there's no motive. Or whatever, that they, like, went in and took over.
Yeah, but like I said, the way that the king runs the government,
yeah, exactly,
is so messed up. Like,
yeah,
the whole reason, in my point of view, for the resistance, the whole reason is because they're killing innocent ordinaries and people don't believe in that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes sense to me.
And that makes sense to me. But some people have an issue with it. Then we're getting a lot closer to the end of the book. Peyton and the king have a moment, and we find out that the king knew Peyton was an ordinary the whole time.
Crazy.
We also find out that he is responsible for her father's death, which I think she had suspected. Like, she thought that it was him, but he explains who it actually was. And he explains that it was Kai,
mm-hmm,
that killed her father. So, like, that's extremely upsetting,
yeah,
to Peyton. And while all of this is happening, he has her pinned down and he's, like, carving a chest.
Hello? He's carving an O into her chest with his sword.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then she gets the strength to get up and kill him. And I think she kills him with his own sword. Oh. Iconic. And while she's killing the king, which this was probably planned, there's a little video person, which this part,
these people are so silly to me.
Like, I know.
It's I like, just imagine a person with like a video camera embedded in their forehead, and they just stand there awkwardly and stare at you.
Like, it's so weird when you actually think about it. No, it's so weird. It's so weird. But anyway, so everybody knows what she did.
Mm-hmm. Now she's exposed. Like, all they know is that she killed the king. Mm-hmm. And so now she is a traitor to the crown. Mm-hmm. So she is a criminal. She runs into Kai while she's fleeing, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of lets her get away, but he's also not happy.
Yeah.
Because she just killed his father? Yeah. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, so she's trying to get away. And then they, like, bump into each other, and he sees what she has done, and so he's just pissed. But they're both kind of pissed at each other,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, obviously, she just, I mean, the king just told her that Kai is her father's killer.
Mm-hmm.
So now she, yeah, she not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the epilogue is in Kit's point of view, and in this, Kit basically gives Kai a mission to find Peyton and bring her to him.
Yes.
And we don't know why.
So this is setting up this second book of Kai hunting down Pei. Okay, so let's get into the second book now, which is Reckless.
It pretty much picks up right where it left off. Peyton is still fleeing Ilya. She finally gets away. She, like, goes through the scorches, so like the desert.
Yeah, which is like a really hot desert. A lot of people die trying to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
She's nearly dead by the time she gets to Dor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's still like dual point of views in this book, but then we also get Kit's point of view.
Yeah.
So in this book, Kai's goal is, he has to find Peyton, because that's what Kit wanted him to do, and bring her back to the new king, mm-hmm. because now Kit is the king, and he kind of was just thrown into this role.
Yeah.
I
personally love this hunter/hunted trope.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's cheesy, I know it's basic, but so is enemies to lovers, and you know what, call me basic, but I love it. And I personally loved the hunting her down trope because it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically go back to enemies.
Yeah.
So now we get this like enemies to lovers setup.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's freaking go. Let's freaking go.
That was fun. I do feel like in this book, though, it was a bit much.
Yeah. And it's a bit repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was starting to bug me.
Yeah, I was just kind of blinded by how good their banter was, that I was just like, after I finished reading it, 5 stars. 5 out of 5. Loved it. And then I go on Goodreads, and people are explaining, like, why this book sucked and why, like, all the plot holes. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. That's valid. I just didn't notice because I was so enamored by any time that they were just bantering, and that's all I cared about.
Mm-hmm.
So
based on the vibe it was a really good
10
read
out of 10.
But there are a lot of issues that I have.
The storyline definitely needs help, but the vibes and the banter, no notes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this note says more banter, more flirting, more stabbing. It's a cat and mouse chase. Yeah, we pretty much talked about that. Again, we don't see Makoto in this book, and it's a little bit sad. Maybe we'll see him in the third book. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully. How did you feel about the random character, A?
Okay. I think we have a little bit different opinions on this, and that's totally fine. I liked it because it gave a little bit more insight into Kai's character, and it kind of explains why he's such a softie, especially for Peyton, because he had a sister that died. So he's kind of brokenhearted over the loss of his sister. And I think it explains a lot of things, like why, you know, he knew how to teach her how to dance and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you were kind of like, that felt random and out of place. And that's valid, too.
It did feel random. And I know that Lauren Roberts did this on purpose. It was confusing that she was referred to as A because you thought that it was Adina at first. And I know that Lauren did that on purpose. She wanted to confuse the readers. But I personally think that's stupid. Like, why confuse your readers like that for something that isn't even that important to the storyline? Like, it is a little bit. Like, I totally understand what you were saying. And, like, I can see why that's important for Kit's character. But, like, there's nothing about that character that's important to the whole storyline.
Yeah. It's only important to, like, his character development, but it's also not completely necessary. So, yeah.
Yeah. In this book, we also find out that when Kai killed Peyton's father, it was his first kill. And he didn't know who it was.
Right. We get a lot more insight into the past and, like, how Kai became the enforcer and really the trauma that he went through with his father making him and manipulating him into being a killer starting when he was just a boy. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, like, sad to see.
Because he didn't really want to do it.
Right. The trauma that he had to go through. And he just is so, like, intent on pleasing his father and following his orders that he, you know, kills this guy, didn't know who he was, but, you know, that was Peyton's dad, and ended up being his first ever kill.
Yeah. So while Kai has Peyton captive indoor while they're just chasing each other,
I love this. I love these chapters.
I know. There's a moment where some people from the resistance come and save Peyton. And then they take Kai captive. And this is when we find out that there's mixes.
Mm-hmm.
And which I thought was interesting. I liked this little addition. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they're similar to elites, just not as powerful. Like, they still have some power, but not as much power as the elites. That's what I remember.
That sounds right to me. It's been a minute since I read this, so I don't remember that exact detail.
And I think some of their powers are, like, different than what the elite's powers are.
Yeah.
Like, they're less obvious.
Okay. Now, Kit's character arc in this book is so sad, and you hate Kit so much. He's, like, turns into a mad king. So obviously he is now the king because Pei killed the king, his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just distraught over Kai finding and hunting down Peyton. Like, it's ruining him. He's not eating, he's not sleeping, he's, like, going actually crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
he's just pouting.
These chapters were, like, actually kind of the worst because he's the biggest crybaby.
Right.
But he's going through a lot. Like, if you think about it, he is going through
a lot. He just lost his father.
Yeah. So he's grieving his father, and he's grieving what Peyton did to him, and he's probably still in love with her.
Yeah. He is.
So he's going through a lot.
We see a ring box he receives, but we don't know what's in it.
Mm-hmm. I did not think anything of this moment. I know a lot of people totally saw the ending coming when we find out about this ring box, but I
did not. I don't think there was a single thought in my head either.
It's like, oh, it's a box.
Cool. Okay, anyways, back to the Kai and Peyton storyline.
No, literally. Oh, that is so funny.
Okay, sorry if you can hear Mando walking around my dog.
So, Kai takes Peyton captive again, and this is when they head back to Ilya. And this is, like, when he's recognizing that he does actually have feelings for her. Yeah. And you're kind of like, wait, then why are you taking her back? Like, take her and run away with her.
I know. It's a little frustrating and confusing. It's because I think he's really torn about his emotions.
Yeah.
About her. Like, he hates her, but you're like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Stop lying to yourself. He's trying his best to hate her, but he can't because he's in love with her.
Yeah. So, in this book, Peyton has had her dad's journal this whole time. And in the journal, it is revealed that the sickness from the ordinaries is all a lie.
That's right.
And I think around this time, too, we find out that Peyton is actually an orphan. And that her dad isn't her real dad. He found her and just took her in.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, crazy. What the heck? Like, just lies on lies on lies. And then we have the poppy scene.
This is towards the end, like the right before they get back to basically the palace. And they're in a field of poppies. And this
is when they is profess when, their love.
Yep. And it's so good. I'm sorry. I know it's corny, but I love a good a love confession scene, especially with enemies to lovers, because it is so, like, they've just suppressed their feelings for so long, and then they just all come out.
They just explode.
At the same time, and it's so good. And this might be one of my favorite quotes, but Kai's confession. He said, "Tell me you hate me, and I'll still count every heartbeat, every freckle, every shiver of your body, if only you say it with a smile." He backs away, freeing my face from his hands. "I may be a monster, but if you cut me, I'll bleed. And if you break my heart, Pei, you'll break me. So if a sliver of your soul longs for mine, sorry, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to deserve it."
Ugh. So good. I forgot about that quote.
Such a good one. I just love an enemies to lovers love confession scene.
It's so good.
And this one did not disappoint.
Yeah. I know. I remember we were kind of talking about it. I think it was when you were reading it. And you were like, "I know it's coming. And it better not disappoint."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I don't know. I don't know if you'll like it." But
it's good. It didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to some of the Blood and Ash books around the same time. And those books are pretty good, but I was disappointed in the confession scene. Some of the confession scenes in that one.
Yeah.
This one was better.
Some of them. Some of them were really good, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. So they're taken back to the castle. This is when Kit confronts Peyton in the throne room, and she admits to her treason. She killed the king. And then, the biggest curveball, except so when the ring box was presented to us, I didn't think anything. But, like, a few chapters before this chapter, I was like, Kit's gonna ask Peyton to marry her. Or him.
Yep.
And so that's what he does. He presents the ring box and tells Peyton to marry him. I don't even know if he, like, asks. He basically is just like, "You're going to marry me.
You're going to be my wife."
Uh-huh.
And you're like, what? I don't know. I didn't necessarily see that coming. But then again, like I said, I was not paying good attention to the storyline. I was just like, every time they open their mouth, every time Kai opens his mouth, that's all I care about the whole time. So it was a vibe read. But yeah, the ending was like, what? Because now, how are they going to get around this? Peyton is now being forced to marry
the brother
right after her and Kai finally confess their love for each other, and it's kind of her punishment, and we hate Kit now. He's just doing it in spite of them. Do you think that he knows that they're in love?
I don't think so. Well, I don't know.
Like, is he doing it to punish both of them? I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And it's kind of crazy that there's just one more book, because I feel like Reckless was just a big lead up for the last book.
Yeah.
And the last book better not disappoint.
It better not.
It better be on the same level as Powerless, because Reckless was good, but definitely not as good.
Yeah.
So Fearless isn't as good. I will actually be sad.
I'm excited. I've had it pre-ordered for months now.
Yeah, same. I'm so ready.
I didn't know that you pre-ordered it too.
Yeah. We'll read it at the same time.
Yes, let's go. Anyways.
And then at the end of this book, there's an epilogue in Kai's point of view. He's very sad. Very, very sad. And it's like so heartbreaking. Like, so heartbreaking. But he says he's forced to love her from a distance and mourns the loss of her each day.
Oh! And now she has set us up for a forbidden romance trope in the third book.
Oh my gosh. True. There's going to be a lot of hidden dance scenes.
Let's freaking go. I'm excited. So,
but anyways. I'm also like, I feel bad for Kit.
I know.
Like, I want him to find someone. Right. But like, just quit being crazy. Like, you're a crazy man now.
Totally.
Totally.
Totally. Anyways, that's all we have, you guys.
Let us know what you thought. And follow us on Instagram and TikTok at eb.pod. We have not been posting TikToks. I guess we can explain why next time, but
next time stay tuned.
Let us know if there's anything that you want us to talk about.
Yep. If you haven't read these books, highly recommend it. Yeah. Like I said, it is probably my most recommended book.
Yeah.
For people who love fantasy, for people who don't love fantasy but want to try it. Like, it is just the perfect in-between book. If you don't like romance, though, then you're wrong. But anyways.
Why are you even here?
Why are you here? Okay, read it.
Just kidding. We love all of our listeners equally.
No, we don't.
Especially the ones that read romance.
I love all my listeners equally, except if you don't like Powerless, then get out. Get out. I hate you.
And Arc.
But you're also not listening to this anyways, so.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all. Thanks for listening.
I feel like there was something else. Give us a rating and review.
Like and subscribe.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Bye.